everything I just said before is really not important, so I won't repeat it. The key things are, a lot of this work was done with Dan Coombs, and it's getting a bit old, but we are still interested in these types of questions. The problem is, as we move forward, the biology becomes much, much, much more complex, and the mathematics then becomes a bit overwhelming, and so we're still stepping back and trying to understand it all. But what I want to talk about here today is about thinking about evolution and thinking about fitness and thinking about evolution when we're dealing with the fact that there's competition occurring at multiple scales. Okay? So I am an evolutionary biologist. I'm not a mathematician. I come to conferences or I read papers when people talk about viral fitness, and it's often used in a number of different ways. And often there's a bit of confusion about what do we mean by viral fitness. And that's quite understandable because fitness itself is sometimes a very difficult thing to define. And what I want to talk about is some work that we've done where the primary motivation was to help us understand what do we mean by fitness and how do we begin thinking about processes when there's competition at multiple scales and when, you know, how do we sort of understand when does one scale matter and another scale become less important and vice versa, or maybe when do they both matter? Okay, so I'm going to talk about sort of what I mean by natural selection at multiple scales. I'm going to give an example of the work that we've done about linking within and between host scales. And then I'm going to talk about sort of like some of the work that, future work that we're thinking about but really haven't gotten very far on. And then I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about things that I think we sort of need to understand better. And there's actually so much work being done in these areas that some of the stuff that we need to understand better is actually occurring. It's just very difficult to stay on top of it all. Okay. So when we think about what I mean when I talk about the levels of selection, and so what I mean is that natural selection can function at a number of different levels. Okay. And natural selection sort of is the differential representation of a genotypes of genotypes from one generation to the next. And how, especially when we think about pathogens, we have this kind of these different scales that are occurring here. You sort of have the within host scale, which is where the majority of the work that we've been talking about has sort of been focusing on. Okay, and that usually then we have selection for it's really selection is often synonymous with competition, and there we're competing for within host resources. And often we're competing for, if we're thinking about viruses, we're thinking that they're competing for uninfected cells and getting into those uninfected cells so they can produce more virions. Okay? But the host itself is composed of cells, and so we have this within-host level of things occurring, but the viruses are then competing for cells. Okay? But then there's this other scale, which is more in the realm of epidemiology, and this is where the original conception of R-naught comes from. Okay? And here we have this idea that there's this between-host competition, and this indeed was where a lot of the evolution of virulence work has been done. And the idea is that you're competing for infections themselves. It's not individuals, but it's sort of the infection process itself, or in the inoculums are competing for uninfected hosts. And this is what, again, this is sort of a more classical view, an epidemiological view. And you're welcome to interrupt me or ask questions at any time. And there's actually another scale that not many people really have been thinking about, and I'm not aware of really any explicit work dealing with it, but we can actually think about many of these same processes that we about competition actually apply to this metapopulation scale. We can think that we have separated populations, there may be some migration between the two, okay, and there's competition to getting to those uninfected populations. And what some of the beauty of all this, or one of the things that sort of gives you hope that you might be able to understand all this, is often the mathematical models that the metapopulation, the population, and the host scales have very, very similar mathematical forms. Okay? And so there's this sort of nesting of these models. Okay? When we get into this within the cellular phase, which we've heard about this week, you could try and force this biology to follow the same equations that we were looking at here, but actually I think that's a bit of a artificial construct. So I think actually when we get into this intracellular area, the competition is occurring for is occurring in a different way. I mean, you could think that maybe the competition is for ribosomes or maybe there's competition from nucleotides. But I think the equations, and I think those are valid ideas, but I think the equations are going to be quite different down at this scale. Okay. So what I'm going to talk about the majority of the time today is this is what happens when we have sort of when we have selection occurring at the population scale, that classical epidemiology scale, but we also have selection occurring or competition occurring at the within host scale, right? And you know, you might have a situation in you can imagine there might be situations where this what's best at the within host scale is also best at the inter host or between host or population scale. Okay, but that's going to be very restricted conditions where that occurs. Okay, so what I want to talk about is how you can begin thinking about and teasing apart and just clarifying our understanding about how competition here and competition here might be in conflict with one another, and then if they are in conflict with one another, how that conflict resolves itself. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to keep things really simple, and we're going to think about there's really one evolutionary parameter for the pathogen, and that's its virion production rate. And the idea is that competition at the between host level or the population level may favor one particular virion production rate, while competition at the within host scale may favor a different virion production rate. Okay? And we're going to use ESS, or evolutionary stable strategy sort of analysis, and Bayesian analysis, to get an idea of, well, what's the optimal virion production rate within a host, what's the optimal virion production rate at the between host or population scale, and then try and understand, then use dynamical models and numerics to understand how that conflict is resolved. And most of this work that I'm going to be talking about came out actually quite some time ago, again with Dan Coombs as a co-author. Okay, so selection at the between and within host scales. Okay, if we think about selection, we think about the between host scale, or that epidemiology scale, the classical scale. Okay, we can take things and we can think about a structured sort of SI situation. We don't have any recovery. We can think about recovery as being a special case of the infectious class, where you have sort of no virions left or no pathogens left. But you know, this is sort of the realm. This is the realm where we should all be very familiar with. You have susceptibles. They can become infected. All these guys can die. The infectious individuals may die, and additionally, due to the fact that they're infected, we can structure the infections by the age of the infection. How long has that particular host been infected? Because that may play a really critical role in how infectious this individual is in terms of causing new infections, and how rapidly or how virulent that infection is. Okay? If we're thinking about this, there's really some very standard equations that we can use, some PDE models, where we can think about how does the change in the density of susceptible individuals, and here we have a density dependent birth rate. We have density independent birth rate, but we have births, then we have removals from the susceptible class due to the infectivity of each of the infectious classes. So here the idea is that loss from the susceptible class is sort of the due to the sort of total force of infection, where we're integrating across all the ages of infection and by how transmissive they are. So it's a very sort of general framework. It's deterministic, which is a bit of a problem, but it allows us to put really structured models in here and structure this infectious class building models at the within host scale, which is what we're going to get into later. Here's the differential. Here's the PDE for thinking about the infectious class. We have a boundary condition. We've got a lot of parameters. The ones that we're going to be really focusing on are this host mortality rate due to the parasitic infection or due to the virus. That's virulence. It's that elevated infection rate. And then we also have the transmission rate beta, which is the rate at which infected individuals cause new infection. And again, the key idea is that these parameters here, beta, may change with over the course of the infection, as virulence here may change over the course of the infection. So this is a very general way of describing these things, and the question becomes, well, what do we put in here for alpha, and what do we put in here for beta? Okay. If Sorry? Well, yes, it does. That's what I've got right here. So this is the virulence, and that's a function of the age of the infection. Fine question. When I'm not being clear, please interrupt me. Okay. And you know, you can sort of, when we're thinking about this between host scale, we sort of know that natural selection is generally going to favor maximization of R naught. Okay. Here's the general form for R naught. You know, we tend to think of it in this form when transmission and virulence are constant. Okay. If transmission and virulence are not constant, essentially what you're doing is you're weighting transmission by the probability a host is going to survive to that age to actually transmit at that point. Okay. So this was my graduate school career trying to understand that equation. But I did succeed. Okay. So, you know, we've got this model here, and we have these things that are dynamic, transmission and virulence. And the question is, well, previous work, prior when I was starting all this, everybody assumed these things were constant. And they assumed that there was some relationship between alpha and beta, and they would assume exponential, they'd assume a linear or a quadratic, but there was no biology in there, right? And when you have black boxes like that, when you see those black boxes and you're sitting there scratching your head trying to understand why somebody assumed that, those are the areas I think where you want to start building your models, okay? Because that's where the lack of understanding is. When you have a black box, that means we don't really know what's going on, and that's where I think models can be really useful for illuminating that. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to link those transmission and virulence, those between host scale parameters, we're going to link them to a within host model. And I'm going to use the very standard model that we've been talking about, you know, the HIV model, where we've got uninfected target cells. They're being produced at some rate. They're being removed due to their interaction with virions. They have a background death rate. These T stars are, of course, the infected target cells. And the one thing that sort of differs from the standard model is that what we're going to do is we're going to assume that the death rate of an infected cell is going to be a function of the virion production rate. Okay? Now, see, this is our new black box, okay? Because we're just going to say we're going to assume it's a function of it, but I'm not giving you any mechanistic explanation of it. Okay? But then, and this is sort of, again, the next level, the next black box, where you can begin doing an intracellular model to try and come up with some reasonable relationships between transmission and virulence. Okay. What we're going to just do is we're just going to assume that as you increase the production rate, the pathogen or the infected cell is going to start growing at a faster and faster rate. So we're going to assume sort of generally an accelerating function for this work. Okay. But this also, this P here, this is the key parameter that we're assuming is under selection that the pathogen can evolve. Okay. So the question we're going to ask is, you know, what is this optimal P value in terms of getting between hosts, as opposed to what's the optimal p-value in terms of getting resources within a host. Okay, so we've got this virion production rate. Virion production rate affects the cellular virulence, is one way to think of it. It affects the mortality rate of infected cells. Okay, and but it also then, you know, affects the production rate of virions. Okay, so there's an inherent trade-off here. It's very similar to that trade-off between host scale in terms of the relationship between transmission and virulence, alpha and beta. This is essentially the same sort of idea. This is virulence and this is transmission. Okay, and what we can do is if we take that within host model, the same way at the between host level we were able to use ESS to identify what's the target of selection or what will be optimized or maximized by natural selection, we can use the same sort of ESS approach. We can show that natural selection will generally favor the maximization of the within host sort of virion level net reproductive rate or infected cell level net reproductive rate. So we represent that as rho. Okay, and essentially this is just analogous to the R naught at the between host level, but now we're just thinking about how many new infections are going to be caused by one infectious cell or one infectious virion. Okay, and we get a very similar result in that this net reproductive ratio within a host is equal to one over the equilibrium density of uninfected target cells. Again, similar to what you would see if you're doing at this between host level, instead of seeing uninfected target cells here, you would see uninfected hosts. Okay, so it's very similar because the equations are very similar, right? And so what do we get from this? Well, the strain that has a p-value that maximizes rho, the within-host net reproductive ratio, is going to minimize the density of susceptible cells, target cells, the same way that at the between-host scale, natural selection favors infections that minimize the density of susceptible hosts. They're going to be able to outcompete it by driving those to a level that the other ones can't persist at. Okay? And so now we kind of can begin, we've got this framework, we can begin linking things together. Okay? So essentially what we've done is we started off here at this SI level, okay? And we said, well, beta will be a function of time and alpha will be a function of time. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually make beta, it's a function of time, but it's really a function of the biological processes going on with it at the within host scale. Okay? So what we're going to do, and now this is quite common, but when we were doing it, it was not quite so common. We're going to assume that transmission is just a function of the virion density, and we're going to assume that virulence is a function of the uninfected target cells left over. Okay? These target cells are doing some kind of function for the host, so if they get removed, you can imagine that that's costly to the host, and that can lead to an increase in their mortality rate. Okay? So we started off here in this SI model. We know that natural selection is going to favor sort of the maximization of R0. We've built this model of within-host dynamics, and we know that natural selection here is going to favor the maximization of that rho value. Okay? And so now we can begin sort of looking at this and putting this all together. Okay? We're going to have to, at this point, we're going to have to start making some assumptions about, well, how does beta and how does alpha change with these within-host variables? And we're going to just simply assume that virulence is a function of how much you decrease the target cell density relative to the uninfected state. So T naught here is the density of target cells you'd expect to see when there's no infection, the uninfected state. And whatever you reduce that by, that's going to be the additional mortality you could have. You can put other forms in here, but we decided to use these linear forms because we wanted to show that even if you have linear relationships going on here, the most simple relationships you have going on here, you end up getting a conflict in selection between these two scales. So presumably, if you put nonlinear functions in here, you're going to get even more conflict. You put nonlinearity, you're more sure to have conflict. In a similar manner that we're assuming that virulence is a function of the within-house state here, you know, virulence is a function of the density of target cells. We're going to assume that transmission is simply a function, a linear function of the density of virions in the host. Okay, so beta will change over the course of the infection as these dynamics play out, and it's going to just be proportional to how many virions are there. Really simple stuff, which is the way I like to work. Okay, so one of the things to think about. Is that when we think about this alpha parameter, one of the key things we've discovered is that what matters in terms of the evolutionary outcome is how sensitive is the host to the loss of this resource. Okay? So this A value here determines the slope of the relationship between target cell density and virulence. Right? And I'll give away the punchline. If you think about it, when you have a very big A, that means you're very sensitive to the loss of those target cells. Okay? That means that when you become infected, you're going to probably die very quickly. Okay? If you die quickly, that means that there's very little time for the within-host competition to play itself out, and then between-host competition is the thing that dominates the system. If we're in this scenario here where virulence is where you're very insensitive to the loss of that tissue, okay, it means that when you become infected, you're probably going to live a long time. Okay? That means that within-host competition has a long time to play itself out, and that within-host competition is going to dominate the system. If you're in this medium realm here, then it's going to be a mixture of those two. And I could probably stop here, but let's just continue, because that is the punchline. Okay? And so what we're going to do is define a P bullet. Okay? And that's the optimal virion production rate that maximizes between host fitness. Okay? So there's two, we're going to think about, you know, optimization, but there's two optimums. This P bullet is a virion production rate that's going to make this thing as big as we can. Okay? Maximizes between host fitness. Okay? And I guess I didn't have, I thought I had a similar slide like that, but we're also going to define a P star as the one that maximizes within host fitness. Okay? And so what we find in general is that when we're dealing with dynamical infections, is that the optimal within host virion production rate is not the same as the optimal between host virion production rate. But they're not the same value. So natural selection at these two different scales is favoring two different strategies. And the question, you know, the evolutionary biologist in me is quite interested in as well, is understanding how does that conflict resolve itself, okay? And when does this dominate versus this dominating? Okay? And again, as I've sort of said, which one wins is really depends on the sensitivity of the host to the loss of those resources. Okay? And so at this point, the interesting thing, I think, is to think about how we can now, because we have these really powerful computers, we can now link things at multiple scales that previously we couldn't do, okay? And we can come up with mechanistic reasons to think, you know, we can come up with mechanistic relationships between this between and within host scale. And the work we're doing here is quite simple, but you can make it as complex as you want to do. You know, most of this work here we're doing, it's sort of in the realm, it's the data-free realm. We're just interested in conceptual ideas, right? But it is, you know, it's like ultimately you want to come and you want to go and you want to apply these ideas to real data. Okay? So what we're going to do is and this is again work that came out a number of years ago. Dan was the lead author on this. We're gonna think there's just only two possible strains at any point in time. There's a P and P1 and P2. Okay, you can have mutation between the two strains, and we're gonna assume that the infection inoculum, what causes a new infection in the new host, is simply a sample of the mix of the two virions floating around the host at any point in time. Okay, so we've got these within host dynamics, and they're going to affect these between host parameters. Okay, so here are the within host dynamics. We've got target cell density starting up here. Okay, this is the uninfected target cell density. This is the infected target cell density starting up down here. Okay, we have these transient dynamics that are occurring, and we see that initially this T star 2 dominates the system, okay? But it's eventually outcompeted by this other strategy, which is represented by T star 1. So I've got two strategies here. I've got a P1 and a P2, okay? This P2 eventually, which is leading to this T star 2, this second strategy has an advantage early on in the infection in that it leads to a big spike, okay? But it has a disadvantage later on in the infection that it gets outcompeted by this other strain. Okay, so we've got those equations that I was talking about. I now put two viruses into this within host model, and what we find is we get this competitive exclusion coming on here, where this one strain is out competing the second strain, but it's only happening late in the infection. And this second strain here actually gets an initial spike in transmission. Okay? What we see here is that how these dynamics relate to these between host parameters, what we see is that survivorship is dropping due to the fact that we have a spike in virulence. Okay. Transmission is spiking and then dropping to sort of a quasi-steady state level. And the mixture of whether we see a lot of V1 or V2 is changing over the time course of the infection, depending on how much of these different V1 and V2s we have. Okay. And what we find is that there's sort of a basic trade-off going on here. And the trade-off is that if you have a virion production rate that's higher than the within host optimum, you get an initial spike here early on in the infection. Okay? The higher you are above the within host optimum, the bigger that spike is. But the higher you are, the bigger that spike is, the more quickly you are outcompeted. Okay? So you can imagine that if you have the within host optimum, you have something that's just some epsilon bigger than the within host optimum, you're going to have a very little spike here, and the competitive exclusion is going to take a very long time. Okay? In this scenario here, the alternative strategy is its production rate is a lot bigger than the within host optimum. Okay, and so we see a big spike going on here, but it gets outcompeted relatively quickly. Okay, so there's this trade-off between how much early transmission do I get versus how quickly am I outcompeted by this other within-host optimal strategy. Okay, so, and again, this is what I was sort of saying before, if they have very similar production rates, so if P1 and P2 are very similar, okay, that spike advantage is very small, but the time for competitive exclusion is very long. Right? If this P2 is much bigger than this P1, then the spike becomes quite big, or becomes bigger, and the time for competitive exclusion becomes bigger or shorter. And if P2 gets really, really big, we still get a spike, but it's not that much bigger than what we would have gotten with a slightly smaller P2, but the competitive exclusion occurs really, really quickly. Right? And so this is a trade-off that organisms are facing that you wouldn't have understood, well, I wouldn't have seen or understood until we did this work. Okay? And so what we find, again, as I said before, is that the importance of this spike versus competitive exclusion, or in other words, the importance of within versus between host selection, okay, really depends on the sensitivity of the host to the loss of the resource. If it has very low sensitivity, that competitive exclusion is going to occur because the host lives a very long time, and you see the within-host optimum passage and strategy dominating the system. Okay? When you have very high sensitivity, okay, when the host dies very quickly if it loses resources or loses target cells, then you see very little time for that competitive exclusion to occur, and you see the between-host strategy dominating the system. Okay? And so that's the work we've done so far. You know, sort of like the future work is to try and move beyond just thinking about conflict at this scale, okay, and move beyond assuming a black box in terms of the relationship between virion production and target cell death rates, okay, by start modeling what's going on within the cell. And there's quite a bit of activity going on here, so it's a very feasible goal. Okay? And so I've done some work with Lieben Rong, Alan Perelson, and Zhulin Feng, where we've sort of modeled the evolution of HIV resistance to integrase and protease inhibitors and other drugs. And we've done that by thinking about the different steps of going from RNA to DNA to integration to virion production and how drugs can target each of these different steps. Okay? So you could conceivably take that model there and then nest it within this target cell model so you have some idea of what should this relationship between virion production and cell mortality be. And you can now begin including this next scale. Okay? So other things besides just adding to the depth of the model that are sort of important when thinking that in this area, at least in my opinion, is, you know, we generally ignore all stochastic effects, which is fine when we're sort of late in the infection, but those stochastic effects could be quite important early on in the infection. And even if we're thinking about late in the infection, none of these models think about genetic drift, which as I get deeper and deeper into population genetics, I become more and more convinced is very, very important. We don't really have a realistic distribution of mutation on the effects of these virion production rates, and there's lots of things we don't have. But these are some of the things that I think are very, very important. And the real challenge here is to introduce these ideas in a way that makes biological sense, so your empirical collaborators don't sort of like throw up their hands in disgust, but that are still mathematically manageable so that maybe we can get some analytic insight. Okay, let's not move with that. Let me just move on to the acknowledgments. As I've mentioned now a million times, this is work that I've done with Dan Coombs. We started when we were both postdocs at Los Alamos. Colleen Ball was a graduate student of Dan that helped us with this work. A lot of this work was done at the University of New Mexico being supported by Andreas Wagner, who had support from NIH. I'm currently at the University of Tennessee, and we have this really neat institute for the integration of mathematics and biological sciences, and we have money available for visiting scholars. We have money available for postdocs. So if you're interested in this type of work, you should find me at some point before the end of this week, and we can talk about it. And if we have time for questions, I'll take them, or I'll take them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't catch that first part. When were you talking about within the host? Yeah, so they're competing for those uninfected target cells. But they don't interact directly. So that's another realm of biological realism that can be added, right? We don't have an immune response either. But yeah, there's no. It's only through the resource competition. So what you mean is that if you were to take this system and you're to run it out numerically over time, and you're to look at the distribution of genotypes, either what's being transmitted, the easiest way is to think about what's being transmitted from one host to the next. What you see is that the virions are almost all doing one strategy versus another. That is one way to do it. When you have this within host structuring, though, you're going to have a little bit of residual of the other one. But if you look at you're going to get about the same thing. So you could look at it. You could do that. You could run this system for a very, very long time, right? And then you just take all the hosts and you sort of integrate across. Say, well, how many virions do they have, and what are they, right? And what you find is that when hosts are very sensitive to the loss of those resources, the virions are generally have a production rate that's optimal for getting between hosts, maximizing between host fitness. If they're very insensitive, okay, then the variant, everything you're going to see is primarily going to be optimal for getting is within host fitness. Right? So you're looking sort of across that population. I haven't satisfied your question, but we can talk about it later. Okay. The p-value, that's one way to think about it. It's a black box, right? So you can think about it that way. Mortality may be caused by the immune response. Okay, it may not. You know, it's like it's using resources within the host, within the cell. I definitely agree with that. But mortality, the effects may not be cytotoxic. They may be due to the immune response itself, which we don't have in here. Okay? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes. It also depends on V. Well, yes. Okay. Right. So you could argue that there's some kind of virulence effect there, and you could put that into that model. I don't know. I would argue the more realistic thing is to think transmission is maybe a function of T star, especially if we're thinking about HIV. Okay. It's a model. It's wrong. Okay.